Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo, after taking a hiatus, and joined with me as always is Alex. And Alex, fuck you. You just had to see it again. You had to be like, oh no, I believe in the Bengals this time. The Bengals aren't just gonna, you know, willy-nilly give up 30 points. And by the way, I'll give you credit, you were right. They gave up 40. So fuck you for that pick. Fuck you for doing your little Alex thing and trying to be like, oh, I'm edgy. I think the Bengals still have it's over. The season is over, Alex. Just tell me the season is over for the Bengals. And let's move on with our lives.
Okay, so how is it going, guys? How are you, Angelo? I can see that your feathers are a bit ruffled right now. Yeah.
I watched that whole game from... I can't say start to finish. I turned off in the third quarter. I couldn't stand anymore. I couldn't handle anymore.
But I guess you do have a point. It does seem like your season is over. You're not going to be one of the fans rooting for a team in the playoffs. I cannot relate, unfortunately, but I do feel for you. As I actually did think you guys had a chance. But, you know, even with a pick six... Even with a pick six,
start the game.
Yep. You guys really couldn't pull that one together, and it's a testament to how things are right now in Cincinnati, where it feels like no matter how many points you score, it just never feels enough, right?
Yeah, no, it's never
allowing
enough. You know,
yeah, allowing 44 points to
the Steelers. We got to say that we allowed the Chargers and the Steelers season highs on the year to date. I'm so happy about that. Two offenses that are generally known for, you know, running clock out and relying on elite defenses to bail them out. I'm so glad that, you know, we have both those teams season highs. I'm so happy for us. I was
in the chat with you. I was predicting everything that was happening as it was happening. So,
hey, I did predict
the Bengals are running out of script. The Bengals are they're not actually playing for themselves. Someone just handed them a script, said, "Here, do this," and this is exactly what happened. So, I don't know.
I do feel for you because I do like the Bengals somewhat, and I like to see you guys in the playoffs. But this has been rough, man. Like, Jesus. You allowed Russell Wilson 414 yards, by the way.
I'm well aware.
Yeah. And as you said, we were talking in the chat, and then I was like, yeah, Cincinnati's definitely going to score here. Then they're going to bring this down to like a third down, a third and 10 or a third and 5, for example. And they're going to allow a completion that is just going to be heartbreaking. Close enough because it was like third and 4 and they bring in Justin Fields, where you definitely know that Justin Fields is keeping the damn football. And not only do you not sell to go against Justin Fields. You actually sell to go the opposite way. You sell to stop the run in the middle. You have like one guy trying to catch up Justin Fields. And for this instance, he manages to go down after the first downman. So he didn't went down before that. He went down afterwards. So congratulations to Justin Fields. He learned something. But losing in a play that like is made for Justin Fields and you don't stop Justin Fields just tells you how much things are going bad right now for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the stats. I honestly don't know how Najee Harris didn't get more yards. Like, every play, it looked like Najee was gashing us. So, I don't know. I don't know. Who the fuck do we even play next? Does it even matter?
Oh, I hope you don't allow 40 this week. We talked about this team last time out.
Huh.
Let's try and avoid that, okay?
Oh, man. This is Monday night. Oh, this is
depressing. You're most definitely going to give the Cooper Rush troopers fuel. I'll tell you that much.
This is going to be the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
It's going to be when, like, Bryce Young had that great game against but great for his standards game versus the Packers last year. And everyone was like, yeah, but like, he had that game with 300 plus yards and he had like a bunch of touchdowns and it looked really good. Never mind the fact that the DC got fired the week after because it was absolutely atrocious. So I feel like it's a game like that that it's going to pop up for Cooper Rush here. So what do you do next year? Because now it's...
Pray.
No T. Higgins. Okay. It's no T. Higgins. The defense took a step back. Now you're getting some pieces back that have been hurt for a bit now. But you're getting those back. But no T. Higgins. You've paid Chase. You've paid Joe Burrow. So all of those are set. Wait, did you pay Chase? No, you didn't pay Chase, did you?
No.
Okay. So Burrow is paid, but you need to pay Chase this upcoming draft, this upcoming offseason.
Oh, no. Nope. He's done his rookie deal. Never mind. Nope. Nope. We haven't paid Chase. Lovely. I'm so happy.
Tough position, I'd say.
I'm so happy for us.
Just trade Chase to Seattle. Send DK away. Get Chase in. There you go.
I'm just so happy for this right now. Yeah. I wonder what this means. I wonder if we're going to do the thing we did with the offensive line where you're just going to see a three-year stretch where we do nothing but like draft like linebackers and pass rushers in the first round.
The offensive line is at least serviceable right now, so maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, we just need to spend like $300 million and 5 draft picks, and it'll figure itself out.
That's going to be good enough. Just barely. Just barely good enough. So the Bengals lost. Your season is basically over. You lost yet another week to me as well. So
I actually wasn't paying attention to that.
You did. We were tied going into Monday Night Football. You were on the Cleveland Browns, and you got Jameis Winston, basically.
Oh yeah.
So that happened to you.
He also cost me a fantasy week.
It's hard when he threw for like 4 touchdowns and 400 yards. Like, how did it cost you a week?
Because I was against Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, okay. That makes a bit more sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was damn near 40 points. Right there. But we both had actually good weeks. This past week, I went 10-6. You went 9-7. If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So we're doing some work, and the overall records are quite decent as well. I'm sitting at a nice and solid 9-4 and 115. You are sitting at 99 and 109 right now.
That's not decent to me.
You're too hard on yourself, Angelo. I think you're missing a win. So, but you're missing a loss as well. So it evens out in the end.
Yeah.
And I'm missing a win and I'm missing a loss as well. No, I'm not missing a win. I'm just missing a loss.
Wow. What other teams played? Yeah. What other games did you watch? What other teams played other than the Bengals?
I watched the Seattle Seahawks, for example. That was a weird game, in which, like, if you look at the box score for most of it, it would look like the Jets were absolutely murdering us. But no, they were actually just getting crazy lucky in the special teams department and the defensive department, because our special teams, if I'm not mistaken, like, fumbled two kickoffs. And so, yeah, that wasn't the absolute best thing, but we managed to pull through. Aaron Rodgers looked very old, I would say that much. He did not look good.
He'll be the Browns quarterback next year.
Can you imagine? Especially, you get the documentary for him that it's releasing like late this month, if I'm not mistaken. Enigma, the Aaron Rodgers documentary. But yeah, like, he looked rough around the edges. This team looks rough. I'll tell you right now, before we started recording, Brees Hall was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they put him with a doubtful designation for this week. So it's not looking as if he's going to be available to play. That's a knee injury for him. So hey, if you're listening to this, I'll say go pick up the Braylon Allen guy. That's going to be a fun one. But yeah, that game, like, yeah, it was all over the place. Out of that game, we managed to release our kick returner. That shit was long coming. He has been very terrible, D. Williams. So now he's cut. We got in Jalen Darden, if I'm not mistaken, from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But we managed to pull through. The offense was clicking after a bit of a sluggish period. DK Metcalf had a nice stat. Jason Smith and Jigba had a nice stats. Tyler Lockett really seems like he has been phased out of this offense. Like, this is another week in which he has done barely anything. So yeah, it kind of looks like it's JSN right now. Like, this is three straight weeks in which he has never broken 20 yards. Like, that's his most yards since the bye week. He only has three targets in all three games. He has 3, 3, 3, and then he never crossed the 20-yard barrier. So, really does seem like it's... Maybe he's cut next year, something like that, or he retires. I see him... We spoke about this before. I see him like one of those guys that can retire fairly soon, because he does have a lot of interests outside of football. He's a real estate agent, if you don't know. So yeah, it's the JSN and the DK Metcalf show right now. Another game that I watched, and I'm going to need you to give me the props. Anthony Richardson, baby. Another win for my guy. You don't know what I'm talking about. Well, when he grabbed that team... And they were down, let me check, they were down 7, and it was around 8, no, wait, they were down how much? That last drive, they were down 7, yeah, with around 5 minutes and 30 to go. And he just pulled a game-winning drive. He had nice completions to, what's that guy's name?
Exactly.
Mo Alley Cox. You see, like, he has nothing to work with. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We're both in the same department. He manages to bring that game to 23-24 with a touchdown to Alec Pierce. Very good catch by Alec Pierce with around 17 seconds left. And then he goes for the two-point conversion, and he wins the game for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm seeing some nice progress from him. And before you go poo-poo in my parade, yeah, he only has 1,000 yards passing.
1,000
yards passing. Jesus Christ, 1,000. 100 yards passing. Oh, he's playing Madden in real life. That's why he had 1,000 yards passing. Oh, no, he only had 100 yards passing. That's true. But he wasn't taking those unnecessary shots. He was taking good, he was making good plays. He was reading the field okay.
Crazy, isn't it? So the way to get Anthony Richardson to play good is to, like, not get Anthony Richardson to play not like Anthony Richardson. No. You basically turned him into Justin Fields, if I'm being honest. We're going to, you know, just take these short passes, take this one guy, take these short routes, run the ball, run it on your legs if you need to. Tell me how this guy is any different than Justin Fields in Chicago.
Because versus the Jets, they needed him to win the game. And he went in there and he won them the game. He threw the ball 30 times. He threw for over 270 yards. He ran for another 30. So, yeah, 300 yards all-purpose. He scored 3 touchdowns. Got the team on his back. Win the game.
Team on his back. He was down against the fucking Patriots.
No. I'm saying versus the Jets. Versus the Jets was where he did all of this. Okay. And he won the game. 3 total touchdowns. Over 300 yards from scrimmage for him. I mean, that's the difference between him and Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields, in that situation, in that exact situation, like Anthony Richardson was, he was for sure going to take, like, a random sack that would just disrupt the flow of the game, or just a random fumble while trying to create something crazy. That's just what Justin Fields does. Like, that's, we've seen this time and time and time and time again. Like, that's the difference between Richardson and Fields. Just one of those guys, like, it's a perennial, like, choker, let's say.
I don't see a difference, Alex. I hate to break it to you.
Hey, the difference is one is a starting QB in the NFL. And one is also the best QB in his division.
Such a fucking hater.
Can I let you know, like, you own CJ Stroud in fantasy. What have you thought about his performances so far?
Pretty bad.
Do you know, when was the last time? And I'm just double checking this, so we're clear. Do you know that in the last how many games? I believe it was since week eight. Do you know where he ranks since week 8?
26.
In terms of, okay, so you do know. You see the same stat as I did. Okay, got it. So yeah. 26th for a guy that before the season started, we weren't in here. We were looking at keep trade cut and people were hyping the fuck out of this guy, sucking him off as much as they could, hawk doing them as much as possible, just so he could be like QB1 for this. This is QB1. Is this your QB1, Angelo?
I think I still think he has the potential to be a QB1. Is he playing good? No. This he is not playing good right now. But
there's playing good and then there's playing like shit, Angelo.
Yes, and then there's playing like shit and then there's playing like Anthony Richardson, but that's beyond the point.
The difference is one is good, the other is shit. That's why one is the best QB in their division and the other is named CJ Stroud.
This guy. Oh.
But yeah, the Texans just like crumbling. Regardless, and
yeah, there's something off with the Texans and CJ Stroud. Yeah, And it might be just the weapons. It might be the fact that, if I'm not mistaken, is Tank Dell injured again?
So for Tank Dell, I don't think so. I think he's healthy, actually. He just isn't doing anything yet, like one catch.
No, it wasn't Tank Dell. It was Nico Collins. No, Nico Collins is out there. Diggs is on the IR.
Diggs is on the IR.
But even then, it seems like Stroud last year had good games when Nico was out on the field. So I don't know. I just know something feels off with them right now.
It looks like the offensive line is struggling. It looks like the secondary sometimes takes like weird breaks in which like they just do not know what they're doing anymore.
Sounds like they take a field trip to Cincinnati.
That would be fun. They would take a quick field trip to Cincinnati and just like...
What's that, sir?
That would be fun. Like, they took a quick trip to Cincinnati, and it's like reverse Monstars. Instead of like Cincinnati sucking their powers, no, they just like got the same type of random flu that the Cincinnati Bengals have, in which like they all of a sudden can't play defense.
Yeah. Sucks like, when you see it, man.
Sucks they allowed Mac Jones to pass for over 235 yards. Now, yeah. It is Mac Jones, so it is like a very good QB, but still.
Just, I don't know. The AFC South seems weird, though. So, like, I don't know about you, but I don't consider any team in the AFC South a true, like, contender. I just think whatever the team is going to get knocked out in the wild card. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know.
None of those teams are up to the par.
Yeah.
Like, two are already eliminated from the playoffs.
I was about to say, I don't know if you have some kind of illogical Anthony Richardson love that you're going to be like, yeah, Anthony Richard's going to do something like go into Buffalo and beat Buffalo. No, he's not, dude.
I don't think that. I think like he can probably hang around in games a bit more than your average like last seed in the AFC type of team. I think he can probably like. I don't think he will upset any team, but I think he can make the games interesting enough to the point in which like the Colts are never sort of ruled out of any sort of game. But I do not think like they would go into like. The Bills and upset them, or the Ravens and upset them, or even the Steelers and upset them. I don't think that. I just think that they're probably better than the run of. I think they're better than Miami right now, for example. We're also like in the run for the last seed in the AFC.
Oh.
Now the thing is, there's another game that I sort of watched bits of. And it was your Chargers versus the Falcons. And I watched that game, and it's... Oh, boy. Kirk Cousins looks very rough right now, man. I'll tell you that much. Like, the balls are coming off wonky out of his hands. He had four interceptions this game. The arm looked rough at times. Now... I don't know if it's just, and it's just not like this week. It's like, it's this week. It's versus the Broncos, versus the Saints a bit, not a whole lot. But he also looked a bit off. But it's like versus the Broncos and the Chargers. Like, those are two of the, what, top five, top six defenses in the league right now. So it's like they just face two of the best defenses in the league, and that's why he has looked rough. But even if so, like then what are the hopes of the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs? If like if they struggle this much versus good defenses, like what can you even face in the NFC that will be like a quick, not a quick break, but like a soft matchup defensively. All this to ask you, do you think we see Michael Penix this year?
This year, no. I still don't think we see Michael Penix this year.
What would be the scenario in which you think he would pop in?
God. Not sure if there is one. I was going to say if the Falcons got eliminated from playoff consideration, but that's not going to happen.
I don't know if that's not going to happen.
Really?
They face the Vikings. They are at the Vikings this week. The Vikings defense, for all intents and purposes, is yet again another good defense that they're going to face. Then they do face at the Raiders versus the Giants. But then the last game before Week 18 is at the Commanders. I could see a 2-2 record here.
I mean, the only team they're competing with is the Bucks.
But the Bucks, on the other end, if you look at the Bucks' schedule right now, they have the same record right now, but they are facing at the Raiders, they are facing at the Chargers, they are facing at the Cowboys, and they are versus the Panthers. So I think it's more realistic to see a 3-1 record for them versus what the Falcons have. Now, the tiebreaker does go in the favor of the Falcons. So there's a shot that, like, even at the last game, they have a chance of doing something here. But the Falcons face the Panthers on the last game of the week of the season. And the Buccaneers face the Saints. So, in division, all of those good things. But I don't know, the way that this Falcons team is playing, like, I wouldn't even rule out a crazy loss to, like, the Raiders or even the Giants.
I don't know if I could say that. I don't know.
I think best case scenario is a 2-2, honestly. Because this team just doesn't look right.
You're right. There is something that looks awful about the Falcons. But I don't know. It would be so weird to see them miss the playoffs, I just think.
Hey, my preseason take was sort of that on. It just wasn't the Panthers. It was the Bucks, after all. But I did say, like, I just didn't trust this team. Like, this felt like the sort of team that looked a lot like the Jags from a few years ago when they had all of those young kids of Bortles, of Allen Robinson and whatnot. And they just, like, they were on the Jags for a bunch of years. People were on the Jags for a bunch of years. And then, like, the season in which people weren't on them, they flipped the switch. And I feel like this can happen with Atlanta next year if they just struggle again this year. If they miss the playoffs again this year, I feel like people will be out on them. And I feel like that's when they click finally.
So your theory is you think Michael Penix is just going to come in and it's going to be a smooth transition and it's just going to be all wheels up for the Falcons?
I don't necessarily think, like, him coming in will fix anything for the Falcons. But as I said before the season started, out of all of the QBs drafted in the first round, since I knew that stat, like, at the top of my head back then, but, like, I believe it was, like, the last 56 QBs drafted in the first round, they all went on to be their team starters either at the year one or year two. Like, I'm not saying, like, they took over a game and they became starters. No, it was just going into the season as a starter. It was either year one or year two. 100% of those QBs went on to be the starters at the start of a season. Like, for example, like the Trey Lance situation in which he was named the starter prior to the season starting in the second season of his contract, and then he got hurt and he never got the chance again. But something similar to that, I do feel like there's a chance that it's Michael Penix at the end of this year and Michael Penix next year.
Hmm. Interesting. Do you think... So Michael Penix is an interesting case because he sat the whole year. I mean, and granted, we've seen quarterbacks sit a season before starting. But he's 24. He's going to be 25, probably, by the time he gets the start. What kind of expectations do you place on him? Like, do you think he can have a slow start to his career? Or do you think he has to show flashes immediately, whether it's at the end of this season or the start of next season?
I kind of think, like, he has some time. Like, for example, I don't think he has a full season in which he looks like... For example, let's say he had next year, he went on the season to be the starter, and he had a season like Bryce Young's first year. I don't think he would be given the same amount of leeway that Bryce Young was given, like a full season, some games, and then he got benched. Then he got yet another shot. I wouldn't think like, I think like at the point in which he gets benched, that's going to be it. Now, I don't think he needs to be like perfect. I think like a Bo Nix type of ascension would be good for him, in which like he looked rough to start, and they like, I believe it, like Michael Penix is even a tad younger than Bo Nix, but looks rough to start. Offense doesn't look like they are clicking whatsoever, and then all of a sudden, like things start to click, things start to slow down for him, and he starts to look better. I think around a season and a half, probably, of not Bryce Young bad, but of like inconsistent young QB, but you see the development, is where I would put that like timeline for him. That's about what he has, I would say. I don't think like age will play that much of a part. I feel like the contract is still the much more important part of the whole thing.
I'm just curious.
Because you don't want to be stuck in a situation in which it's like a Bears with Justin Fields, for example, in which like it's the last year of the deal. You need to make the decision on the fifth-year option. And like that's something you can't risk because the fifth-year option will really bite you if you take it on. So I would think that it's before that. But before, like, where we are right now and that, there's, like, three seasons. So I would think, like, a year and a half is probably what he has of, like, full confidence behind him.
So you don't think the leash is very long, then, for the most part?
I feel like it's an okay leash. I don't think it's massive. Because he is, at the end of the day, like, he doesn't have the pedigree of a Bryce Young, in which he was the first round of the first overall pick. But it's not like Kenny Pickett either. He isn't like a 20-ish type of guy. He was drafted inside of the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was pick 8. So he's going to have some leeway. He's going to have some time in that offense. It's not going to be as big as those guys that are like number 1 overall picks, but it's going to be good enough, I would say.
That's fair. I think that, I don't know, this is just me, but I think there is a bit of pressure in Atlanta. You brought in God, I'm drawing a blank on his name already. I was about to say but Dan Quinn, but
Ray Morris.
Yeah, Ray Morris. So the defense has been playing good. You have to pay Kyle Pitts and Drake London here in the next 2-3 seasons, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. You have Bijan too. You just drafted Bijan a year ago now. So I think the Falcons expect more. I think the Falcons, like upper management and ownership, expect more. That's just me though. And maybe that's the wrong assessment. Maybe the Falcons are the one team that doesn't draft a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back in the first round with top 10 picks and don't expect the team to be good. But I don't know. Do you think the Falcons did too much too soon when they decided that they were tanking every year, they're drafting within the top 10 every year, and they were still just hit and send on drafting all the offensive skilled position players?
Sorry, I didn't pick up the first part. I picked up the rest. Do I think, like, what team did that? I didn't pick up the team.
No. I'm asking, what team do you know drafts offensive weapons with top 10 picks and doesn't expect to result very quickly?
I mean, looking back, it's hard.
They've done it in three straight seasons, by the way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, last year's draft. I know who drafted the offense this year. Hurley, it was the Chargers, and they went O-line. But if we're looking at just skill positions players...
Offensive line is different than drafting a running back, a tight end,
So looking at just, like, skill position players, we're looking at, like, a Malik Nabers that was the Giants, but I do not believe they drafted the guy the year prior. The Bears went ahead and drafted a...
Romo Dunze,
yeah, this year, but I do not think... I believe they traded down and they didn't pick up offense.
They were also in an interesting situation to actually get their quarterback, too, before they even selected Romo Dunze.
Yeah.
And not only that, with that expectation and with drafting Romo Dunze, before they even did that, they still spent buku bucks bringing in a bunch of wide receivers. The trade deadline, they traded for Montez Sweat. They've made a lot of moves. And see, that's the thing. I'm trying to think of a team that was so fucking stupid that they were like, yeah, I know we're having like 6-10 seasons and worse, but I think what we really need is we need to get this number one wide receiver. I think they did. They did draft Drake first, didn't they? And then Kyle.
They drafted Drake, then Kyle, then Bijan.
Yeah.
And now
I don't know a team that's like, yeah, we're winning like 5-6 games every season or less, but we need this number one wide receiver. Oh, we also need this number one tight end, and we need to get the running back position. Like, that's not usually how. And then I guess you could have an unorthodox way of drafting and it worked, but usually what you do is you build from your front line back. You don't start with the skill positions, then you're like, we'll figure out the trenches later. That's what the Bengals did. Did it work out too well for them this year either? Go on.
Yeah, well, no, I just feel like they're in a tough situation right now because, like, let's say this week it's a tough matchup for them. It's versus the Vikings. Let's say they lose this game and Tampa Bay wins. So Tampa Bay is now up one. Let's say next week it's versus the Las Vegas Raiders. They lose a game, like in a weird game in which, for example, like the one versus the Ravens, the Raiders and the Ravens. And it's like they look good for most of it, but then there's like mistakes in the second half that just cost them the game and they lose that game versus the Raiders. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win again. All of a sudden, the Bucs are now up two games to Tampa, to Atlanta. And they only have two games left. So those two games are must-win games for Atlanta to have any chance. What do you do? Assuming, like, in both games, Kirk looks okay, but he makes mistakes that cost the team the game.
So you're saying the team should have won, but Kirk is the direct reason that they lose? Do you think?
Yeah.
I still let it ride,
basically.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are all they paid the motherfucker buku bucks. I think they're all in on the very least letting Kirk ride this season, and then having a quote unquote true quarterback competition for preseason next season.
Okay, so you're basically, and does Raheem Morris live that? Does Raheem Morris like live to see the next day?
If they miss the playoffs?
Do we think, yeah.
You know, somehow I think yes. If it's like by a game or barely by the skin of their teeth, I do think they would. I think you would. I don't know.
Okay. So maybe I'm just over exaggerating things. That's just the way that I am. We are just silly Portuguese, just over exaggerating things.
Exactly.
Maybe that's just it.
Yeah, you just don't know how things work in America, and that's fine.
Oh, we talked about it a bit. I know how things work in America.
Do you know?
No, the one thing that we were joking about in the show, that we shall not bring here. I know how things work in America.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you. I have educated you on how America works. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. So outside of those games, did you see anything else that you want to talk about? Do you want me to bring in another game? Because I watched a few more. Thanksgiving, there were a few games, but we talked about those already.
We talked about Thanksgiving. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And we talked about the Raiders and the Chiefs live, because we were watching that game live as it unfolded. So those are not necessarily talking points right now.
Unless you want to talk about the Ravens and the Eagles. I watched that game.
That game was weird, right?
Yeah, it was very weird.
Can we admit that that one was a bad beat for me? That I should have won that bet? Or are we just going to pretend that Justin Tucker missing like two field goals and an extra point is normal now? But at times, it really looked like the Ravens were all over the Eagles. In terms of like they were really put, like if you look at the QB stats, I didn't dream of this. Like Jalen Hurts barely passed for 1,000. Jesus Christ, QB is throwing for 1,000 yards now every single game. Yep. No, he barely passed for over 100 yards right now. Versus Lamar Jackson, not nearly. He really doubled the amount of yards that Jalen Hurts had. And in terms of the run game, like. You look at the final stat line for Saquon Barkley, and he had like around 107 yards running. But if I'm not mistaken, he had like a massive long run in there, in which really bolstered up the yardage number. Because I remember at times I was looking at it, and he had like around that 40 yards running, something like that. But he broke a big one late in the game. I believe it was like a 25-yard run or something like that, with around 7:56 left in the game, to really propel those numbers a bit. Because like, you take that away, and it's like you look at the Philadelphia Eagles offense, and they win this game by 5, and they don't even have like over 200 yards of offense without that like big run of Saquon. And I know it's like it's pick and choosing what I'm taking out, but it's still like just for the sake of the conversation, because it looked like it during most of the game, in which they were really struggling on offense, and the Ravens were getting inside of the 40 quite often, inside of the 30 quite often, and they really never managed to get those final points and have good outcomes in those trips to the Philadelphia 40, Philadelphia 30, Philadelphia red zone.
Do you think we're going to see a transition to how aggressive John Harbaugh's play calling is on fourth down, especially when they're in the other team's territory?
I wouldn't be surprised, because he looks hell bent on keeping Justin Tucker, and rightfully so. Like, he is the best kicker ever, and maybe it's just going through a bad stretch, but this is not something that you want to address right now. You probably want to address that in the offseason at best, and it's like we're nearly in the playoffs and there's no kicker available that's probably better right now than Justin Tucker. So
no, probably not. Although there are kickers who doesn't have the yips, because that's what it really looks like. It just looks like Justin Tucker has the yips right now. And
it does.
I know there have been situations in previous seasons, like the Cowboys last year. I don't know who with the name of the kicker, but I do know that the Cowboys did replace their kicker at very late into the season and going into the playoffs because of that. So it's not like a kicker hasn't lost his job because of just a bad stretch, or what could have been just a bad stretch, but not someone. It's weird to say this for a kicker, but not someone with the name recognition as prolific as Justin Tucker. It would be like if Jenikowski went through a bad stretch and we're talking about the Raiders replacing him.
Yeah, but I feel like part of the whole discussion is just like this type of kicker. And I don't think you will see many situations like this one because it's just not very common. The best kicker of all time just having this rough stretches at times. So I feel like this is a very unique situation for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think you kind of have to ride it out. I don't really think like there's anything that you can do at this stage to change anything here, really. So I just really think that you have to ride it out. I don't think replacing them will do you any good, purely because of the type of player that he is. I also don't think that the Ravens organization is that type of organization where like kick the player to the curb at this point.
No. They just do that when it comes to changing teams. What?
They're loyal to a fault. Aren't you saying like the time that they switched up from one place to another?
You mean when they abandoned Cleveland and then went to Maryland? Yes, yes, that is what I'm referring to, Alex.
Maybe I didn't pick something up because you looked fairly serious when you asked that. But no, I got your joke. See, that's way before my time. But I still got it, man. It's way before I even got into the NFL. Yep. So I'm all over the place there. Okay, so outside of that, so that game was kind of weird. I lost that game, unfortunately. Should have won it, but bummer. It is what it is. The Commanders got back into a groove here. Didn't look all that necessarily hard to do versus this Tennessee Titans team that got like 19 points, and two of those were long touchdowns to Westbrook Akine. So yeah, that's just great offense. Hey, I'm glad that I was right on that one as well. I'll tell you that much. Tennessee Titans being a dumpster fire. Is Will Levis done next year?
Yeah, I don't think Will Levis is going to be quarterback in this team next year.
Does Will Levis have a job this year?
The only saving grace is for the Titans, if you're really like still hardcore on the Will Levis bandwagon, is there is apparently not a lot of confidence in this upcoming quarterback class. I don't know if it was you who shared this tweet, but someone shared a tweet from a scout around the NFL that said that executives around the NFL kind of see this quarterback class as like you make that selection and then you're probably losing your job within the next 2-3 years. So, and that's for everyone. That even includes Shakir Sanders. So I do think, because the NFL is basically a giant think tank, an echo chamber, I think there is a possibility that the morale and the view in NFL circles is so low on this quarterback class that Will Levis does start next year. Is it something I would bet on as someone who does these picks? Probably not. But I do think there is a case to be made, if you're really hardcore on Will Levis's camp, that yes, Will Levis is starting next year. I just don't think, based on what I've seen, that it's very likely, especially with Callahan. I'm pretty sure Callahan thinks he can make something work with one of these quarterbacks. Which one is it? Not sure. But I'm pretty sure he thinks of at least one he can make work better than what he's seen from Will Levis right now.
Plus, they're like a game outside of being the first overall pick. So
yeah. So they can have their basically pick of the litter.
Yeah. And they're just sitting at 3-9. The first overall, there's a bunch of teams sitting at 3-9. It's them, it's Carolina, it's the Jets, it's Cleveland. Then you have one team sitting at 3-10, which is the Patriots. And then you have the Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Jacksonville Jaguars sitting at 2-10. So it would require those teams to win games, which kind of hard, not gonna lie. But like they are right there, I'd say. And like they have the best QB to do that, which is just a turnover machine that loves to throw the ball the other way. It's weird. Like let's put here two scenarios. So you have two QBs flaming out of the league, and you have to take the shot on one of them. Do you take the shot on a guy like Will Levis, which is like he clearly shows you that he has a decent to good arm, like he can put some zip on it, he can make some good plays when needed, but he's an absolute head case. Like the dude cannot get out of his own way. He's constantly making bad decisions on the field. He's also putting mayo on coffee, so like the decisions off the field are also kind of questionable, but not to the point that they are on the field. So he's like constantly making boneheaded plays, boneheaded mistakes. The coaching staff is done with this guy. Or do you take in a guy that doesn't make as many mistakes? So he's a relatively quiet guy in terms of like he's more of a possession guy, keeps the possession of the football more, but he really can't move the offense because like the ceiling really isn't there. Which one of the guys do you take? Do you think you take the guy whose ceiling is a bit lower but doesn't make mistakes and you try to run a system a bit like run heavy scheme where you need them to do the absolute least? Because we have seen teams had success with that sort of scheme. Or do you go in with the prospect that has a higher ceiling, makes the mistakes, and you have like, you know, Smith, Sam Darnold type of situation, in which we've also seen teams having success with? Which one of the two scenarios do you rather go with?
Because you cut out.
Look at this. Where did I cut out?
Cut out at, would you rather have a Geno Smith, Sam Darnold situation? Okay. Honestly, you cut out most of it. So you're asking, would you rather take a chance on Will Levis, that there's something there and you can bring that out, but you potentially have like a Sam Darnold situation where you didn't invest much money, but you did get the talent out, but now you don't know if you have the guy at quarterback, or would you rather just take the quarterback in the rookie draft, knowing that the quarterback class is viewed as very rough, and roll the dice? Is that what you're asking?
No. No, I'm saying you have two prospects. Let's try and see if I'm not cut off here.
You have two prospects.
So you have two prospects. Yep. You have Will Levis, the guy has higher ceiling, very high ceiling, but he makes the worst decisions. Like, he's constantly throwing those dumb-headed, those mistakes picks. Yeah, just like the pick sixes, whatnot, like, can never get out of his own way on the field.
Floor of Kyle Bowler. Go on.
Yeah. Or go do on. You take a guy, maybe a bit like a Bryce Young in this scenario, in which it's like the ceiling really isn't there most of the time. You really don't see it a whole lot. It's kind of limited in terms of his arm, but he isn't making a whole lot of mistakes in terms of like turning the ball over, and you can sort of run with it a bit, and you run a bit of more of a run scheme, a run heavy scheme, and you try to minimize what he does with his arm, because we have seen success with both types of redemption projects or rejects having success in the NFL, because with the Will Levis case, you've seen like guys like Geno Smith, Sam Darnold really struggled with the mistakes, and then they went on and became better players and had better seasons. And you've also seen like teams having success with more limited QBs in terms of like what their upside is. But if they do not make the mistakes, they can run a decent enough offense with it.
Yep. So which one?
What sort of prospect do you go? Yeah.
So I don't know if you know this, but my dad and my mother they coach together. They're coaches. And they have this philosophy, and I am about to share this wisdom upon you and this philosophy upon you. You ready?
Yeah.
It's easier to take a guy who's going 100 miles an hour and tell him to slow down than it is to take a guy going 5 miles an hour and telling him to ramp up. I would rather go with Levis. I would rather get the chase the potential of the high than try and rev up a low.
Okay. I figured it as much because you were also more a risk taker in terms of like what you would take in terms of a risk, what you would consider an okay risk to take. So I would think that as well. I don't know. I'm kind of torn because I guess it kind of depends on how much you trust on the guys. But yeah, I probably take the ceiling as well here in this scenario. But it would depend on QB from QB. Like, for example, between Bryce and Will, I probably take another shot at Bryce. And I do think, do you think as well, as we're talking about Bryce, and as we transition a bit from this, do you think he gets another year with the Panthers? Because I kind of do right now.
I don't.
You don't think? You think they go
QB? I think he should have another year with the Panthers, but no, I don't think he does.
They are sitting at 5 right now. They are one of those teams that are 3-9. but it's...
I don't think so.
He's playing a bit better. The thing is... And I heard an argument.
Here's the thing.
Maybe we're going the same way. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing. The Panthers don't exactly have an amazing track record of patience and making the right decisions. So, I do think if it is not at least in the back of the current head coach's mind, then he's a fool, that it would be better to try and go in a different direction and buy yourself more time with a different quarterback than it is to roll the dice with Bryce again. And if it doesn't work, you're fired. Does that make sense?
Because it's the same sort of rationale that I had with like Eberflus and Fields. You know, it's like, yeah, sometimes you have to cut the plug and get your own guy in the door. I just don't know if Canales really is that hand tied in terms of time and in terms of like how much time you will actually get to be in this job.
Like I said, Panthers don't exactly strike me as the most patient of groups.
Could they be a bit better now, though? Could it be that they're improving as a team?
Yes, absolutely. They could be, yes, absolutely. That doesn't mean they're going to give them the time of day. The ownership's going to give the GM and the coaching staff the time of day.
Because
at the end of the day, he doesn't see the improvement. He might see some of the improvement, but he still sees the result. He still sees 3-9, despite if it's like, I know you're the guy that's like they're winning, but they're not winning good enough. I don't think ownership as a whole, just across the NFL, I think they just look at the result. I don't think they say, okay, this was a good 3-9. Just like I don't think they say, okay, this is a bad 10-1 start. I don't think that happens.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, for a reason, Marvin Lewis was in charge as much as he was, right?
Yeah, you saw the result. he technically won more games than he lost. You saw the result.
That's all that matters. And it's also tough because, like, we're saying, at least I'm saying, that Bryce looks better. But it's like he looks better versus what he showed to start the season. And what he showed to start the season was probably the worst QB play I've ever seen. Yeah, so it's like it's comparing him with him. And it's like maybe versus the rest of the field, he's still like relatively okay-ish at best. But I don't know. Like he has at least done things better. And he has shown more poise in the pocket. He has shown more capability to move the ball. The throws are being a bit more decisive right now. Plus, they are 3-9, and they are sitting at fifth right now, fifth overall. And as you said, could it be a situation in which like this QB class is like the Kenny Pickett QB class, in which like people really avoid it? We're all of us going to be projecting like Shadur Sanders to be a top 5 pick, and then Shadur Sanders goes in like the 20th.
No, 1,000%, and. I know historically, granted, we've only been doing this show for like a year now, but historically, because you know me a lot longer, historically, I don't like making evaluations on the rookie class until I actually have some kind of metrics. But at the same time, I do think that anyone who is confident in saying that their starting quarterback right now isn't going to be their starting quarterback next year, other than like situations where like the Jets have already announced it, like that's not an argument. I think you're crazy. I think if there's a debate, there's going to be a lot more organizations than people think that are going to stay with what they have now rather than take that role when they have a bunch of people in their ear saying, well, this class isn't very good. And that doesn't mean the class isn't good. But if that's the perception, perception is reality at the end of the day.
Yeah, I do think that makes a whole lot of sense as well. Plus, this is the guy that, for all intents and purposes, they actually did want to draft, like, Kenny Pickett super high. Now, I don't know if that's actually accurate or if that those were just the reports at the time. He didn't actually end up drafting Kenny Pickett. But all of the reports pointed towards him wanting him in. But it's also because, like, he was from the college that he has, like, a big role in which Tepper has a big role in. If I'm not mistaken, there's, like, a statue. Yeah, there's, like, a statue of him in there, isn't it? Because he's a big backer of the college, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So
maybe that was just it. But I kind of want to see the kid get another chance. And I don't know if he would get another chance outside of Carolina. So I want Carolina to at least give him some time. Bring in a vet backup. Get in Jameis. Like, he has gone to Tampa Bay. He has gone to
We're Saints. In this weird era of the NFL where, and I think that could be a discussion for fantasy purposes as well, but we're in this era where just because the quarterback is a bust doesn't mean that's it for him at this exact moment. You would have thought 3-4 years ago, Sam Darnold was done. Sam Darnold, that's it. No more chances. Sam Darnold's now, we talked about him for MVP votes earlier in the year. His team is 9-2. Jameis Winston had a 30-30 season. Then we haven't seen him since, and he's back. So I don't think, again, I think if you say it with any confidence, like just a guaranteed blank confidence statement, if you say, I don't think we're going to see Will Levis again, or I don't think we're going to see Bryce Young again, you haven't been paying attention to the rest of the league. There is totally a chance we see them very, very, very soon, and they look a lot better than they look now. Is it a guarantee? No. But I think in this current NFL format, where the talent seems to be so high and the quarterback play that you need to hit is so much higher, that there's a chance. There is a chance.
I would also say there's probably a bigger chance than a guy like, for example, a Bryce Young gets another chance over a guy like Will Levis, purely because of the draft capital as well. That really plays a part, I think, in the psychology of coaches, because that's like, you can grab that guy who was a top five.
101.
Yeah, yeah, 101, 103, 105, top five, top three, top one, whatever. You can grab one of those guys that had a lot of upside, and if you can get him to turn it around, you're going to be the guy that turned it around, and that's going to count for something. There's also that psychological effect, where, like, if you grab a guy who was, I don't know, where Will Levis went, like, early second round pick.
Yeah, he went early second. Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of extra quote-unquote prestige in doing that, because, like, the perceived talent wasn't really there to start.
Yeah.
Reclamation projects around the league.
Reclamation projects around the league for all. Yeah. We need to get into these predictions, by the way.
There's one last game that we need to talk about. We can sort of rapid fire it. But how about those sacrificings? How are those sacrificings going this year, Angelo?
I hate to say it, but the 49ers are the ones who got sacrificed, not the other
player. I'm still waiting for them to turn it around. I'm told that it's going to happen eventually. They're going to turn it around. They're going to make it into playoffs. They're going to fix things up. Meanwhile, they keep losing games. They keep losing important players. So eventually the people who have said that they're going to turn this around are probably going to be like that Homer meme where it just goes inside of the bushes and disappears.
This has been a bad season for your boy. The 49ers and the Bengals both have had hype going into the season and both have just like fizzled out.
But it's a good season for you because you managed to turn a first-round pick into two first-round picks in, weeks. Or you grab McCaffrey for a first and you trade McCaffrey away. Yeah.
Playoff team
first-round pick. And you grab that first and it became two firsts all of a sudden. You're a magician.
I am. That's how I win Dynasty, baby. That's how I do it.
Well, win is sort of like a loose term here. Let's put a break on that. Let's put a break on win. At least in our league, the only thing you've won is probably the record for the lowest max points forever.
I probably do have that.
You probably have it for a few years as well, in terms of back to back seasons.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had it for 3 years in a row. Hey,
yeah,
I'm the best.
And the Bills look
even
absolutely
when I'm the worst,
massive.
I'm the best.
Even when you're the worst, you're the best. And the Bills look absolutely massive. They look great right now.
I know. I don't get it. I want to know. They're running. I know you said the Chiefs ran on plot armor last week. The Bills also kind of look like they're running on plot armor, just based on how they're playing.
But we've seen the Bills do this in terms of being a great team in the regular season, and then they get punched in the mouth in the playoffs, and shit hits the fan. So I'm not entirely certain if the Bills have changed or if this is the same old Bills, but they at least look a bit better than previous years.
I mean, their kryptonites all look bad. The Bengals might not even make the Bengals aren't making playoffs. The Bengals aren't making the playoffs, and honestly, the Chiefs do not look like the Chiefs right now. So. There is a scenario where both the Bills' kryptonites just get knocked out this year fairly quickly.
And they lose to the Lions.
Then what?
The Super Bowl.
That would, honestly, Bills Lions is the Super Bowl we all need.
So are we going to be able to do the power rankings this week?
Heck no. What are you saying?
Heck no. Oh my God. We've been at it for an hour and an hour and change, an hour and 20 probably. And we still need to do the predictions. Okay, so let's jump into the predictions before it takes any bit longer. So, of course, we're recording this on Friday. What day is it today? 6th of December. So, yeah, Thursday night football happens. And I made the pick. Angelo didn't make the pick, but I know what Angelo was going to pick because, as you know, if you've been following the show, he always plays against me on Thursday Night Football. But this time,
I'm just going to point this out. Never mind. I'm wrong. I was going to say this game wasn't on Amazon, but then I looked it back up.
No. This one was on Amazon.
Yep, you got an Amazon win. Week 17 is on Netflix? They're doing Wednesday night games on Netflix now?
I would check when do you think it's, what day is Wednesday?
Christmas on Netflix. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
They got two games.
Gotcha. They must have paid an arm and a leg to get Christmas games. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Okay. So, as I said, this week, I went 10-6. You went 9-7. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on that one. And this week is another week. I am now what? I'm 6 games. I'm trailing you by 6 games right now. I still have 6 weeks left. Wait, 6? No. Still have 5 weeks left to catch on. So, and we're on a good track because I want Thursday Night Football. So, let's get it going. So, this one is usually you. Do you want to start or do I want to do you?
Yeah, I'll start since we're doing two. We're gonna go by our norms, the normies. Jesus. Jets, Dolphins in Miami. Dolphins are favored by 6.5 points. Just give me the Dolphins. Like, I don't want any piece of the Jets.
Nobody Jets ever does.
Bad. The Jets look bad, dude.
Yeah, we made this complete like 150, in which like we go from the Jets being favorite to every game and losing. So now they are like 6.5 point underdogs. So that's fun. But they are actually very bad, and they might be without Breece Hall right now.
Yep.
Now Braylon Allen Breece has actually shown that,
by the way. So
yeah. I think I mentioned that at the start of the show. So he's doubtful. It's probably going to be Braylon Allen right now. Sauce Gardner is also doubtful for this week, so that's going to be fun. But like this Miami team, I don't know. This Miami team needed to win the game versus Green Bay. I was hoping for a good showing versus Green Bay. They got in there and they got their mouth absolutely punched out of it. And they just didn't really fight back. Like, they got punched and they sort of rolled over and died. I don't know if they still have any fight left in them. I guess give me Miami still. No. I don't know. Give me the Jets. Purely, I don't know, 6.5 points is a bit much. I have to go with the Jets. I don't know what is left of this Miami Dolphins team. Plus, there was like a boast of Tyreek Hill heavily hinting at retiring as well. I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, he said like...
He's the writing on the goddamn wall, dude. Like, come on now.
He did say that, but he said that it was going to be like at the end of the year, at the end of his contract, not like at the end of the season. And like now he's making posts of like, love the thing that you do because it can leave you fast or something like that. Like an art and him getting out of the tunnel or inside of the tunnel. Very ominous. Okay. Long day. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are 5.5 point favorites right now. Like, this Falcons team is a weird one because, as I said, a lot of problems. But this Minnesota Vikings team never really manages to put games away. Like, they were losing to the Cardinals for damn near the entirety of the game. And they managed to pull a win in the end. Like, losing, winning by margin doesn't seem to be, like, their thing. So I guess I'm going to go with Atlanta plus 5.5.
Actually going to go to Minnesota here. Minnesota. I do think the way the defense is playing, Kirk throwing a pick six is definitely in the cards. Something just feels off with Atlanta. Last game, Atlanta was kind of just Bijan or bust. I don't even think Kyle Pitts got a reception. No, Kyle Pitts didn't even get a reception in the last game. So, yeah, no.
Great.
Yeah, no, give me Minnesota. All right, next up is the two.
It's the
The New Orleans Saints at the New York Giants. The Saints are favored by 5.5 points. Just give me the Saints. There's nothing about this Giants team that inspires any kind of fucking confidence in me.
I'm still trying to find the confidence that the Saints inspire in me as well. So I guess I'm going to go with the team playing at home and getting the points. Give me 5.5 for the Giants. It's probably Drew Lock, so maybe it's a bit better than Tommy Cutlets. So yeah, the Giants plus 5.5. I guess I'll roll with that one. The Carolina Panthers at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 12.5 point favorites.
Yes, they are.
12.5. And the Carolina Panthers, Zank. I want to say yes, because the Eagles look rough. But even in a game in which the Eagles looked rough and they really couldn't put a whole lot of offense together versus the Ravens, they still covered the spread. And they covered way more than the spread because they were underdogs, if I'm not mistaken. 12.5, I guess. Give me the Eagles.
Give me the Eagles. You know what? Give me the Panthers.
You're just going against me for the sake of it. Like, this one, going against the Eagles is definitely not your thing.
No, you're right. It's not. You're right. It's not.
I actually thought I'm going to go with the Eagles because, like, at worst, this is a dead even game where he just picks the Eagles as well. And it's like, it's just a game that goes into the garbage bin.
Nope. Not happening. Oh, Lord. The Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers fresh off scoring 40 on the Bengals. The Steelers are favored by 6.5 points. Give me the Browns to cover. I don't know what I'm thinking, but give me the Browns to cover.
I feel like that's a relatively popular pick this week from what I've seen around the betting community. It is the Cleveland Browns. I just always find these games weird, like the ones in which a team gets beat on a primetime scenario and then they face, they turn around and it's almost damn near the next game. It's like it's a game, there was a game in between, but that's it. And they just go and face the Cleveland Browns again. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a revenge narrative here for Pittsburgh because they did feel like they should have won the Cleveland Browns game, and it was the snow. I feel like they get one over. They get one back on Cleveland. So give me the Steelers minus 6.5. Okay, the next stop is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are 7.5 point favorites. Playing at home. I have some stats here for you. I brought some stats back. So for the Raiders, they have covered each of their past 4 games that have played on short rest. But on the other hand, the Bucs are 3-1 ATS as a favorite this season. I think I'm going to go with the team that still has something to play for. Even though they really, again, they can't seem to win by margin. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 7.5. And I hope the Carolina Panthers game was sort of a fluky game. No,
Give me the Raiders.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Never with me.
No, never with me.
It's not been paying off recently. I'll tell you that much.
You're right, it hasn't. It has not. Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah, good luck.
The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are favored by 3.5 points. You know what? Just give me the Titans. I think they have the best unit on the field, which is the Titans defense.
Same exact rationale. I'm just going to go with the defense, and I hope there's still some rest of the magic left from start of the season left in them. And I just hope and pray that Will Levis just makes one of those dumb mistakes. I can take two. Just give me one. One is good enough. So, the best scenario is they're up early and they just run the ball to the ground. That's basically all I can ask for. Okay. My Seattle Seahawks
They go at the Arizona Cardinals. The Seahawks are plus 3.5 point underdogs in this game. I feel like this Arizona Cardinals team is weird because when you least expect them, they just surprise you and they pop up out of nowhere. But I've liked what I've seen from my Seattle Seahawks, especially on defense. Ever since we made the changes at the inside linebacker position, we've been playing better. The defense has been looking a bit better every game that pops up. And I feel like Mike McDonald has really worked his way into this team and into being an NFL head coach. Plus, the one big issue that we've had constantly is the mistakes on special teams. Maybe we've figured that out with the new kick returner coming in and cutting in the old one. So at least we're acting on it. We're acting on the things that we've been doing bad for the season. First at linebacker, now at special teams. So give me Seattle plus 3.5.
Give me Arizona. Every time I've gone against Arizona, they've gotten to bite me in the face. So, you know, maybe I can give your team some good juju, or maybe I'm right. Either way, I win. Oh, the Chicago Bears at the San Francisco 49ers. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The 49ers are 3.5 point favorites. Give me the 49ers. I still have hope that they can cover against the Bears.
I'm just going to take the Bears. Going to take the best unit on the field, which is probably the Bears defense at this point. So give me the Bears plus 3.5. And plus, it's the new coach magic as well. Eberflus is out. Thomas Brown has had the highest rise up in ranks I can remember from a guy that goes from like passing game coordinator to head coach in like 3 weeks or something. That's just wild. So yeah, give me the Chicago Bears plus 3.5. Okay, Buffalo Bills at the Los Angeles Rams. The Bills are 4.5 point favorites, which seems very short. Favorites by 4.5 at Los Angeles after the game they had versus the San Francisco 49ers. Doesn't this look like a letdown spot for the Bills, in which they win this game, but they come out looking absolutely flat?
It do.
The Rams are no pushovers either, though. So I think I'm going to go with the Rams. Give me the Rams plus 4.5.
I think you just put the Alex Kurtz on my good old Rams. I'm going to go with the Bills. Jesus. Finally a good game. The LA Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are favored by 4.5 points, and I think the Vegas betting odds realize they have fucking plot armor as well, and they're no longer making their lines, huge lines. I'm going with the Chargers here. I have a sneaky suspicion that this is going to be a very close game.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I don't know if they win, because I still think the Chiefs have plot armor at this point. But I do think it's going to be a very close game, and I think it's probably going to be a field goal game. One of those typical KC games in which, like, they have the ball late. They're down, like, by 2 or 3. Or, no, they're down by, like, 1 or 2 points. And they just march down the field, and Mahomes makes the play. And they kick the field goal to win. I just feel like that's just a formula for them. So, yeah. The Chargers plus 4.5. But the Chiefs probably still win. Finally, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, no. Don't you say it now.
At the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys.
Go on.
5.5 point underdogs with 10 plus days of rest playing on Thanksgiving.
Go on.
Give me D. Ty, no.
I don't want to pick either side. Because you're going to pick against me regardless. So and I was like, if I do not have the confidence in this one, can be a loss. Oh, boy. Give me the Bengals.
Oh, you...
I can't. There's no world. There's no way. You cannot give 30 points to Dallas, man. There's no way in hell they can give 30 points to Dallas.
What do you want to bet?
I'm just going off
of the premise.
What do you want to bet? Game. It's what I'm betting.
You want to put a first round draft pick on it?
No. I'm good on that.
Okay.
Seen a lot of Bengals games. I'm okay on that.
Yeah, I'm just going Dallas.
It's fun that you liked the Chargers so much last year. Now you're basically the Chargers.
No, we're much worse than the Chargers.
No, the Chargers from last year.
No, we're much worse
than the Chargers from last year. No, it's just like back-breaking loss after back-breaking loss and just like losing the worst-case scenarios and just like losing in the weirdest scenario in which like you're scoring 40 points, but you allow 41. So
like, I don't know. I don't know how you win by 5.5 points when you give up 30 points. You know, unless you so score 36, how many points Angela? Are you projecting the Bengals to That's score? Math. Are you projecting the
36.
Bengals to
score?
Okay.
It's 36 to 30.
Okay.
That's all I need. That's all I need, and that's probably the show, right?
Yeah. I'll let you. I'll set you free, friend.
Okay. So this is coming out on Saturday, I hope. Right?
Yeah, because we're recording the basketball today.
Okay. Perfect. So Saturday, you're going to be listening to this on Saturday. Thank you guys for staying up until right now. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm sorry that we missed up a show this week, but like schedules really didn't match. We're back. Yeah. But we managed to set up next week already. So next week it's going to be shows out on Tuesday and on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. We have the schedule lined up and it's going to be great. So two shows next week, only one this week. But I hope you enjoyed it. It was over 2 hours or long or around 2 hours. So yeah, hope you enjoyed this one. Thank you guys. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, if you're listening on the Spotify app, just make sure to subscribe, to leave us a 5-star review, to turn on the auto downloads as well. That's really what helps out the show the most, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it's completely free. So easy enough for you. And if you're listening on the YouTube, you know what you do. I mean, you've been doing this for a while now. You've been using YouTube for a while. Like, you don't need me to grab your hand and do the things. You just do the things that help the algorithm. So that's it. You managed to get a show this week. If you didn't get the one from last week, you definitely need to go and check the podcast because it's over 2 hours long. And you do not get those. So, yeah. Hope you guys enjoy it. Have a wonderful weekend of football as well. It's drawing to an ear, like we're on week 14 already, 4 more weeks after this one. But it's been a blast, guys. Thank you so much, and talk to you next week.
Peace out, guys.